Welcome to the Word of Mom Media Network and Word of Mom Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to today's Word of Mom Radio here on the Word of Mom Media Network. I'm Dori DiCarlo, your host, and you know we are here week after week just breaking those myths that mompreneurs and women who are working from home and women-based businesses and own businesses, you know, that we're just dabbling in between bake sales and getting our nails done. You know, we're smart, we're savvy, and we're empowering each other along this journey. And I love how the journey, I never know who I'm going to meet. And I'm excited. Today's guest is actually here from Hawaii. So, you know, we are on a huge time lapse difference. And I'm excited to be sharing Hannah Mariama. She is Honolulu-based, and she's a semi-permanent makeup artist, an author, and an entrepreneur. She's worked in multiple industries, holding jobs as a deckhand, a reporter, a waitress, a not-for-profit fundraiser, and a commissioned artist before finding her true calling, creating artwork on people. The diverse island of Oahu provides constant inspiration and learning opportunities in new and rising beauty science developments from Japan and Korea. And these trends have a dominant influence in Hannah's work. She loves to spend hours researching new beauty tech gadgets and products and trying the do-it-yourself beauty treatments at home and then sharing her experiences with others. Her company is Yama Studio, and she has Circle Mountain Media that published her book that we're going to talk about. And with this incredibly diverse background, Hannah, welcome to Word of Mom Radio.
Aloha, Dori. Thank you so much for having me on this morning.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Well, afternoon. So, I'm really grateful for this opportunity to be on, and thank you so much. It's a great show that you have. I've really enjoyed listening to it myself, actually, in prepping for this interview. So, I'll talk a little bit about my company and what I do. My company is called Yama Studios, and it is a semi-permanent makeup clinic. Now, what that means is I actually just do cosmetic tattoos. A lot of people nowadays do microblading, and it's called a lot of different things. So depending on maybe regionally where you've heard of it or who you get it from, they're all called different things, semi-permanent makeup, permanent makeup. and I find that it gets really confusing for women or people who are considering having these procedures done. So what I end up doing is actually just kind of simplifying it a little bit and calling it cosmetic tattoo, because I feel like that is more accurate, and I think that it better suits explaining the process to my clients before they come in. Semi-permanent makeup is just cosmetic tattoo. Cosmetic tattoo is basically just the application of pigment instead of tattoo ink. And the difference between the two is when you get a regular tattoo, it goes down to a different level of the skin that semi-permanent makeup does. And they also use, in traditional tattoo, they use tattoo inks, which tend to have metallic additives, and it can oxidize underneath your skin and change color. So if you've ever seen permanent eyebrows from 10 to 20 years ago, you can see the difference in the technology from then to now for cosmetic tattoo, specifically in the semi-permanent makeup arena. A lot of times, specifically in Hawaii, this was big about 20 years ago, and a lot of women will come into my studio with green or red or blue eyebrows, and it's really common because here a lot of people are really busy. Women usually work a job in addition to being homemakers, so they're constantly running to and from other things. There's horrible traffic in Honolulu. We're famous for it, you know. We're famous for rainbows and traffic, and the traffic is really appalling. So a lot of women just outsource their makeup, because that's basically what cosmetic tattoo is. When you go in for a microblading appointment, or a lip blush tattoo appointment, or a semi-permanent eyeliner appointment, what you're doing is outsourcing your makeup, the same way that now we outsource driving to Uber drivers or Lyft drivers, the same way that we outsource grocery shopping to delivery services like Amazon or Blue Apron. And that's basically what I think, that's where I really think the value is in cosmetic tattoo, because a lot of women, one, I find that the reasons that people come into my studio to have me tattoo their makeup on their faces these are the main reasons. One of them is application. So consistently people have issues getting the same result when they're applying makeup. I know that for me, and it's so funny because for me, when I apply makeup over my semi-permanent makeup, it's never consistent. But when I, you know, when I tattooed my liner on, I noticed that my liner always looks better because it always looks the same. It always matches. It's always even. And that's a huge thing for me, because even when I work in the beauty industry, so when I'm networking with other professionals, but I came from surfing, or I went for a run and now I have to go to a networking event and I only have a little bit of time to get ready, I still look put together when I show up. My makeup always looks the same way. It always looks the same level of put together and of professional. And so basically what it is celebrities can afford to hire a makeup artist to come in and do their makeup every day. And now I feel like this service is something that brings that ability of consistent professional makeup application to the everyday woman. And women that do it for application purposes, because it saves them time. Actually, it ends up saving quite a bit of time. I realize too, my clients consistently tell me that once they've had brows, they start wearing less makeup. And then usually my brow clients end up getting semi-permanent eyeliner as well. And so then they end up wearing no makeup. And as a result of that, because it even causes you to wear less foundation because you don't want to cover up your brows or your liner. And so I find that people, sometimes their skin will clear up, they stop wearing mascara as much when they get eyeliner done. So their lashes grow, they stop plucking their brows so much too because they don't have to change the shape. And that I feel like it allows for more hair growth and it allows your skin to breathe. And so I find that people, after they get semi-permanent makeup done, end up having better overall, that they look a little healthier, a little more like themselves, which is great because for me, that's the goal. I always preach sunscreen and not plucking or waxing your eyebrows when people come in, because a lot of people don't know, but when you wax your eyebrows, and specifically when you get your eyebrows waxed, you never wax the same spot. Never, never, never. So what's happening is actually you're killing hair follicles. You're just ripping them out at the root all over, and that's what causes thinness a lot of the time, because you're damaging permanently those hair follicles. And we need them, because the older you get, the more of them you're going to lose. And that's something that I've been able to help with clients that have thin brows, because microblading is basically just the use of a really small, thin scalpel tool. And I use a little bit of pigment, which is more stable than tattoo ink, and it fades the same color as I put it in. So whereas if I use regular tattoo ink on a small blade, just like I do in microblading, it would change color over time. But because I use a high-end pigment, it does not change color over time. It stays the same color, and it just gets slightly lighter. Eventually, it disappears entirely, which is why I actually like it too, because while I always opt for a natural look that goes with the pattern of my client's natural hair and with the pattern of their brow shape, because I measure custom for every person that I work on, I find that sometimes they'll want to go a little thicker, or usually people end up wanting to go darker, but on the off chance that they want to go a little bit lighter or let it fade away completely, then they have that option. So it's not as permanent as a tattoo. Which some of my clients initially, that's off-putting to them because they feel like they're paying for a tattoo and they want it to last forever. But tattoos do not last forever in the sense that they're not going to exist in the same way that they're applied if they're done with regular tattoo ink. So it's a really good service. I enjoy doing it. It's really life-changing for a lot of people too. So I currently offer microblading. I also do brows with, it's a small digital tattoo gun that I use that was a machine brow. It can be used to do multiple different techniques, but a lot of people say that it's actually less uncomfortable than the microblading. I do semi-permanent eyeliner, which for a while I did winged eyeliner, but I stopped doing that because I believe that tight lining your eyes, which is basically tattooing your lash line and a little bit into your waterline, looks more natural, and that as people age, if their eyes start to droop a little bit, they don't lose shape in their wings, which was something that I was really concerned with at the beginning, because I want things to age well, because that's how people, you know, that's how people age, and you want them to look good the entire time. So I think that that's a really awesome service, and it ends up actually saving people money, like I said, because they need less product. So the average American woman, I think, spends, I think it was something like $100,000 in her lifetime in beauty products, which, thinking about it, even though I'm a pretty minimal makeup user, again, because I have semi-permanent makeup on myself, I realize that when you buy multiple products, because usually you don't buy the same product, right? You go in, you make impulse purchases, you have a problem, you develop a change in your skin, and you have an issue, and you have to change a product you're using, be it a brow pencil or a lipstick or a blush, and you end up buying multiples. So that's one thing, too, that semi-permanent makeup, it kind of takes away all of that worry. Like, you don't have to change your beauty routine. So that's something that's now set in your life, and it's something you don't have to actively worry about. So I find that it's actually less stressful for me, too, because I don't wake up in the morning thinking about my makeup. I wake up in the morning, and I think about helping my husband get ready for work, or I think about something I have to do for my business. And I find that that's really one of the biggest side benefits of having semi-permanent makeup. So I started Yama Studios about two years ago now. And it's been quite a journey, because this is my second studio here in Honolulu. My husband and I moved from Savannah, Georgia, where I had my first studio. And then a series of events led us to come home. My husband is a local boy, so we live and end up buying a house in Honolulu, so we live here now. And it's been interesting opening a studio in such a diverse place, and I've learned a lot. It's been a crash course in different cultural beauty trends and different cultural beauty values as well since I moved here. And I've really, really enjoyed it, because it's a diverse landscape of people and what they care about and what they want, and I really enjoy that ever-changing challenge. So that's been a lot of fun, too. My book is called Before the Blade, What You Need to Know Before Getting Microblading or Semi-Permanent Makeup. And I wrote it because I found that the only books available for on semi-permanent makeup or cosmetic tattoo were for artists, which is kind of useless if you're looking for information. I felt like, too, the other issue that I found was there was a lot of information that, again, was written for artists. So online, you know, you can do your research. As with anything, you can always learn it on Google. But my book just puts all of this information together in a simple way and kind of loses the jargon and explains the keywords so that you're able to make a decision about whether or not it's right for you. It goes over risks, rewards, everything you need to know about semi-permanent makeup.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break and hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back here on Word of Mom Radio with Hannah Mariyama as she talks about Yama Studios.
As parents, keeping our school safe is uppermost in our mind. More and more schools are requiring students carrying a clear bag, but that puts the responsibility of keeping our school safe on the backs of our children. Safety Bags has a full line of bags, not only for the students, but for the teachers, the administrators, the sports department, school personnel, and more. Our line of clear bags and backpacks come with a 3-year warranty and can be used to raise funds for your schools and athletic departments nationwide. Please visit us at safetybags.com. You will see why we are the clear choice for your schools, because safety, it's in the bag.
We all know a survivor. Some of our friends and family have made it through difficult times. Some of us don't make it. Losing a loved one to cancer, a car accident, or any other unfortunate event can be crippling and unavoidable. But one of the hardest subjects to talk about is suicide. Too often, our youth decide that leaving this place is easier than facing the struggle forced upon them every day. More than one in four children go through some form of bullying or another. Most of us survive with scars, but for some, the inner demons created cannot be recognized or treated in time to ensure they make it through. Bullying in every form is very much avoidable. It starts with me, and it starts with you. This is Kelly Carius from No Such Thing as a Bully, reminding you to do your part when you see bullying happen. If you don't know what that is, call 403-447-4404 or go to nosuchthingasabully.com.
Hey, sports fans, take the hassle out of going to the game with the clear bags from StadiumBags.com. Our crossbody mini messenger bag, stadium-sized backpack, tote bag with different color straps, and ready-to-go travel bag meet the size requirements for pro and college sports. You can find us at StadiumBags.com and get yourself the bags guaranteed to last season after season, because safety, it's in the bag.
And we're back here on Word of Mom Radio talking with Hannah Mariama about her company, Yama Studios, and the difference that she makes with the cosmetic tattoos that she does. And so what do you kind of consider your game changer?
I find that cosmetic tattoo is really a game changer for people with alopecia as well. I've had quite a few clients that had alopecia and came to me because they've never had hair on their face. And having the ability to replace and put a realistic looking brow on them, it's amazing how it frames their face and just brings so much more attention to their eyes. And for me, as an artist, I really enjoy being able to, because I sort of view my job as a restorative artist. So basically, the kind of person who works in a museum restoring, you know, the artwork of the greats. That's kind of how I feel about what I do. I basically just replace and restore what was already there and just help it to look a little bit better, a little bit fuller, a little bit more done. And that's something that I found is really rewarding. And my clients really, really love.
Who should avoid getting cosmetic tattoos? Are there any conditions and things like that out there that would prohibit somebody from being able to get a tattoo?
Yes. So that's actually a huge part of this. There's a couple complex answers and then a lot of simple ones to that. The broad strokes of people who shouldn't have it are people with pre-existing skin conditions. So my husband, for instance, has eczema. So I would never do microblading on him, because you can't control where people who have eczema get flare up or any kind of inflammation of the skin. You know, if you get if you have really bad cystic acne around your brow area, that's not a good procedure for you to have, because I can't ensure consistent healing, and it might end up not looking very good if the skin gets broken and disturbed. People that have had Accutane, Botox, anything that causes injury to the skin, like a skin disease or a procedure, they're not good candidates for microblading. And then the more complex ones would be, and this is so unfortunate because I have so many, you would not believe the amount of pregnant and new moms that come to me, but I cannot, and well, people can and people do, but I believe it's unethical, but I do not offer my service for women who are pregnant or breastfeeding, because it's just an unnecessary risk to the mother and child to tattoo, and just open her skin at all and risk any kind of, even though it's a minor risk, any kind of infection. So those are people that can't have it. And then with cancer as well. So it's a valuable service to cancer patients. However, the problem is that you have to catch them at the right time, because again, if they're immunocompromised, I don't want them to put off chemo to make sure that they can have the service done and be healed, but they can't have it during chemo because their immune system is low. So having, you know, open wounds on their face for a couple of days is still too much risk. So those are people that I don't do cosmetic tattoo on.
And good for you. Very ethical.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, especially pregnant and breastfeeding. Surprised how many women nowadays, I mean, my kids are older, but you were told not to color your hair, you know, not to do any of that kind of stuff because you don't know. And I'm surprised how many people, oh, yeah, it's not that much. I'm like, why would you risk anything? Because heaven forbid something happens. And then you look back at yourself and going, what if because I did this? You know, so since I never wanted to have the what if, you know, I was always really careful. I want to go back and talk about your book. Give the title again, because it was right before we were ending.
So the title of my book is Before the Blade, What You Need to Know Before Getting Microblading or Semi-Permanent Makeup. Just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Write this book. What was the impetus for you to be able to write a book about what people should know before they're going to do this?
So, Dori, kind of as you had said, you know, microblading is a really new field. This just exploded maybe, I don't even want to say 5 years ago. This is really, really a new field. The entire field of, you know, widespread cosmetic tattoo is extremely, extremely young and growing. And so I realized once I got into it and I was kind of telling my husband, I was like, I don't see a lot of material that is aimed at simplifying this process for someone who's thinking about it. There's a lot of, like all fields, there's a lot of jargon. There's a lot of words, a little bit of confusion about what it's called. So some people call it semi-permanent makeup. Some people call it permanent makeup, and then I call it cosmetic tattoo because I want to make it a little more simple because so many different labels and so many different procedure titles make it really confusing for clients or people that are thinking about it. So I wanted to simplify it a little bit and make it more digestible for people that don't know anything about it, because it's very confusing if you're not sure what's going on. It's just very technical, a lot of it. And then there's also a lot of, like I said, you know, the contraindications where there are people who it's just really not suitable for. And then also just realizing that it is a luxury service and it's a commitment. So though it doesn't last forever, it does last for, you know, about 3 years. Sometimes it can be longer depending on your skin type. And I just wanted to explain that it is a tattoo. Like, I don't want there to be any confusion about the fact that if someone puts brows on your face, semi-permanent makeup, permanent makeup, microblading, whatever they want to call it, it is a tattoo. And I felt like a lot of people didn't understand that it was a tattoo. And I wanted to make sure that that was explained because it's a commitment. And that's something that people need to think about, you know, for their beauty journey before they do it.
Let everybody know how they can find you and how they can find your book, please, Hannah.
Oh, sure. So my Instagram is at Yama Studios, so YAMASTUDIOS. My website is https://yamastudios.co. I also am on YouTube if you just Google Yama Studios. And then my book is on Amazon. Just search Before the Blade. It was the number one new release in cosmetics for a few weeks back. And it should be pretty easy to find. So,
well, I thank you so much for taking the time to share with our listeners. I think that this is something I know a lot of people, my daughter had it done. You know, I have a lot of friends that have gone out for the microblading. And, you know, I think that these are things that people need to be aware of. They need to be aware of the options. They need to be aware of what they should know. And so I applaud you for taking it to that next level for people that are doing this. So thank you so much. You're very welcome. And I really thank you for being here with us in the Author's Alley and sharing, you know, not only what you do, but the book that you've created to help people know what they should be looking for. And so they have a better understanding of what they are doing before they do it. So thank you so much for being here, Hannah. And for all of you tuning in, thanks so much for being here with us on Word of Mom Radio. We'll close out with Smith Sisters Bluegrass and She Is You. So until next time, this is Dori DiCarlo saying thanks so much for sharing your time with us and go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She